Welcome back to another episode of Golden Dawn Radio. I'm your host, George, and with me again, as always, is Ed.
Greetings, friends.
What we want to do today is go over some things that have been happening since we had our last broadcast. I'm sure you know that a lot of things have transpired since then, some of the most notable of which we wanted to get right into, which is that, fortunately, three of our comrades have been released from jail after the recent prosecution. We have Nikos Mihos has been released, Elias Panayotaros has been released, and Elias Kasagaris has been released. The three of them are not allowed to leave the country right now. They're pending charges, but they haven't really brought up any details about what those charges are, probably because of lack of evidence. However, Christos Papas, our leader Nikos Mihaliakos, and Yanis Lavos are still incarcerated right now in prison, and they're awaiting some kind of charges for a trial, but there's not any evidence that has seemed to really come forward yet, and they haven't set a date. They can actually, legally under the Greek law, they can be held for up to 18 months, according to the Greek laws. Now, we don't know if that's going to happen, but that's potentially what we're looking at. So, moving right into it, since we've last spoke with you, indeed, like we talked about, the parliamentary funding that is proportionate to the amount of votes any political party in Greece gets has strictly been denied to Golden Dawn right now. This is the first time this has ever happened in Greece, and it's happening on the grounds of that the party is being accused, not convicted, but accused of being a criminal organization. And they are saying that they are going to withhold the parliamentary funds until the trial date or until a conviction is made to prove that they are, in fact, a criminal organization. If that doesn't happen, if there is no conviction, they're supposed to get the funds back. But I think that the system really wants to buy themselves some time and kind of cripple Golden Dawn as much as they can, particularly with the food drive. So we'll get more into that later. Ed, you want to get into more details about the funding cut? You want to kind of fill people in about that?
Yeah. Essentially, what this new denying of funding to which is constitutionally guaranteed to Golden Dawn, what this is pretty much the establishment of a legal clause that says you're guilty until proven innocent as long as you're a nationalist. This is completely illegal under the Greek constitution, but no one is in the European Union seems to be too concerned about that. In fact, the opposite is true. You have all the Niles Muzniaks and all the Biermans of the EU coming out in support of this new law and this new precedent that's being established in Greece. So, in other words, the most interesting thing about this is that Golden Dawn is the sole parliamentary political party, in terms of the top ones, that has absolutely no debt to the public banks. Meanwhile, PASOK, New Democracy, and Syriza, and the KKE, all together, owe the Greek people hundreds of millions of euros in public debt to the state bank.
That's not counting all the money that they've stolen over the time and embezzled, you know, especially PASOK and Neo Demokratia. Yeah, they've completely, pillaged the country. So
it's actually, George, notable. Golden Dawn does not depend on these parliamentary funds to subsist. The money was actually that they got in the parliament was actually redistributed to the people in medical services, food services, and other social acts of humanitarianism. The other parties don't do any of that. Now, the most interesting of all is actually that Golden Dawn has tabled laws in the parliament that would actually cut the funding of all the political parties. So, Golden Dawn is not afraid of this. It's not like they're parasites on the people that need this money just to exist. That's the other parties. That's the Democrats.
Well, right. Before this happened, you know, essentially what went on was that the other parties were complaining, Ed, about that Golden Dawn was using this money to create political support by, you know, providing aid to people, you know, giving them food and things like that. And they didn't like that because they had never done such a thing, and they were using their money to buy swimming pools and fix up their villas and things like that. So what Golden Dawn said is, oh, you don't like it? Okay, well, why don't we all make a vote that we're not going to take any parliamentary funding, all of us, Golden Dawn, PASOK, let's all vote that we're not going to take any funding, and that way it'll be all equal, and then you'll have nothing to complain about. And they said, oh, no, that's unconstitutional. We can't do that. And now, the same constitutional arc, as they call themselves, is violating the Constitution when it suits them. So
what I see is ironic, personally, is that the media is constantly referring to Golden Dawn as anti-democratic, anti-constitutional, against civil liberties. But here's the thing. Golden Dawn is participating in the democratic system enthusiastically, doing everything by the book. I mean, those parliamentary funds that are allotted to all of these parties are essentially made specifically for that reason, for the parties to get the word out, for the parties to spread their message. That was the whole idea behind giving elected parties parliament funding. The other parties, they spend their money. For example, Syriza was actually trying to, there were aspects within Syriza that were trying to create similar social services as Golden Dawn, but they were outvoted by other aspects of Syriza that instead chose to use the money for marijuana festivals and gay pride parades and, you know, all the modern world's trash that wins you favor with the European Union oligarchs and the Zionists in New York. That's essentially, so in other words, all of the parties use this parliament funding in whatever way they see fit that will get their message across. But for some strange reason, George, when the nationalists get their message across, then it's a problem. But of course, when Golden Dawn tables laws to lift the immunity for all parliament members, to lift the parliament funding for all political parties, the Democrats don't like that. No, no.
Yeah, they want the villa for the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all that kind of stuff. They want the, you know, they want everything, you know? Yeah.
And they want the immunity. I mean, the people of Greece know that the leadership of PASOK and New Democracy are dirty. They know. They know. They've seen the semen scandal. They know the Lagarde list was hidden on purpose. And they know the names and the faces of the people who did it. And these people have yet to see a trial or a day in court. So when these very same forces that are mixed up in all of these scandals, thefts, and corruption are turning around, oh, Golden Dawn is the cause of all of our problems. The people notice. The people see it, and they don't take them seriously. They know something's going on, and it's because Golden Dawn is getting too close to the truth.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up, Ed, is that this is all, you know, to the listeners, I want to basically say that this is all unraveling right now. I mean, not only is the mask of the major political parties being shown with their allegiance, with their commonality with each other when it comes to fighting real patriots and things like that, but also the degeneracy of these leftists has been shown. Now, one huge example of that, which we've talked about on our website, is we've talked in the past, of course, many of you know about the girl, Myrto Papadomihalaki, who was a 14-year-old girl at the time, this was 2 years ago, was walking on a beach in Paros, and a Pakistani who was illegally employed, and he also was being accommodated by a Greek hotel owner, so he wasn't starving, he wasn't unemployed, searching for food and struggling or anything like that. He took it upon himself to grab the girl, bash her head into the rocks along the beach, and then rape her while she was unconscious and leave her for dead, and she almost died. In fact, right now she's at a hospital, we believe, in Boston being treated by a specialist, and they've recently had to bring this case to court now. The case was delayed outside the courthouse. The judge gave the parents time to come back from the United States with the, you know, because the daughter's currently being treated, you know, by a specialist. So they postponed the final court date for the prosecution. However, one of the most shocking things, now I've been a nationalist for over a decade now and involved with Greece, and I can say that even I was shocked. Out of all the things I've seen, I've been so jaded by seeing Greek leftists, even I was shocked when I saw, I opened up the news and I saw that this leftist Syriza group, along with various anarchists, Antarsia and things like that, the court case was taking place in Syros, and about 50 of them actually went outside the courthouse to protest on behalf of the Pakistani rapist. Now, keep in mind, this isn't a case where the innocence or guilty status of the accused is in question. You know, if it was one of those cases, I would say, okay, well, I can understand why the leftists are trying to lie through their teeth and say this guy's innocent. But this guy actually confessed. He confessed to it, and he said that he did it just because, you know, just because it's normal for him to do it. And they even psychologically tested him and found that he wasn't mentally insane. He just came from a culture that said that.
United Nations actually did a study on sexual abuse, and they said that the worst, the most rapes where it's the most common is actually in places like Pakistan. They said Asia and Africa are the worst offenders.
Yeah.
So for him, it's just part of his culture to do that.
Absolutely. So, but the real shocking thing of this isn't, of course, the Pakistani doing what Pakistanis are known to do. The real shock of this is that Greek people, 50 of them, actually had the kind of callousness to go outside of a courthouse of a girl, you know, of a man who attempted to murder and then raped a little 14-year-old girl that has nothing to do with politics, and they stood outside on behalf of this this animal. This is more sick. This to me is 10 times more sick than the animal that did this. It, to me, those people are even worse because he can't help what he is. These people will make a choice, and this to me was, I can't even begin to describe how infuriating when I heard this story and how shocked I was. And then, you know, and you know me, Ed. I mean, it takes a lot to shock me when it comes to leftists in Greece, but this really took the cake as far as I'm concerned, you know. So,
well, frankly, it's beyond the pale. I mean, if you're an anti-racist and all that, you know, with all that entails, you know, fine, you know, protest, this and that. But the thing is that when you take it to the point that you go out on behalf, you would prefer to support a Pakistani rapist of a child who beat her, bashed her head into a rock, a totally innocent little girl, and you're willing to take his side over that little girl, then of course, like that famous slogan goes, you're not anti-racist, you're just anti-white, you're anti your own people.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what, this isn't about anti-racism, this is about being against Western civilization and the people that created it to try and replace it.
What I had thought is that they would actually just ignore this case and not actually come out and do that. I thought, you know, I didn't expect them to say anything about it or try to stand against, you know, this particular incident or make excuses for it and say, oh, well, you know, this incident was terrible and this is an individual act of an individual person. They didn't even do that. They actually went to go outside the courthouse and support this guy. So,
if people think that this is the sphere of just radical Marxists, they're wrong. Because when this incident happened, all of the conservatives and Democrats were also kind of defending this guy. They, some of them were trying to lie, like Dendias and the deputy of justice in Greece were saying that this guy, oh, he's a minor. And the only people that were saying this man is not a minor and that he should be held accountable for his actions as an adult against a child were Golden Dawn, Elias Cassidiadis in the parliament, standing up against the liars. And now it was found that this man was actually born in 1993, which means that he is an adult in the eyes of the law, and hence he should be prosecuted like an adult. But the Democrats,
yeah,
they tried everything.
He might even be older than that. Yeah, he might even be older than that.
The Democrats tried to hide this. They tried to make it seem, and they did everything in their power to lie and cover this up. So it's not just the radical Marxists. This is actually something that spills over into the blue and the green to create a type of a system that treats these monsters better than innocent citizens that are just minding their own business.
One thing I want to mention, which is an important point, is that the only reason that this story even got out was because when it happened, they didn't know who did it. They just found the girl, and they found her with her head cracked open, and some of the authorities were trying to say that she actually either fell on the rocks, and it was an accident of some kind, and it was the mother who kept pushing and pushing and telling the journalists, you know, no, this was someone did this to my daughter. Now the mother didn't know who it was. She just knew that something had to have happened. So, which turned out to be a tactical mistake for the media, because they might have suspected, oh, maybe it's like a boyfriend of hers or some kind of thing. If it is that, they didn't really expect that it was going to be a foreigner, especially in a place like Paros. You know, there's not that many illegal immigrants, like compared to Athens and things like that. You know, most of the immigrants there are, you know, small in number, and they don't have the kind of crime that you see in Athens. I mean, as you can see, this guy, he wasn't in a position where he had to commit crimes or rob or anything. I mean, he was living better than most people in the United States live. He was living on a Greek island and working in a hotel, for Christ's sake, you know.
Poor guy.
Yeah. I can name 20 people here in New York that want to go to live and work on a Greek island, even if they just make nothing and they just eat and live in the hotel. So, anyway, the point is that when it was discovered that it was in fact a Pakistani and that he confessed to it, they had to cover it because they couldn't cover it up by then. It was a big scandal, so they did talk about it, but then, like, not even more than a week after, it completely went dead silent. But the only reason this got out was because of that. And that's why Dendias and Samaras and all these other politicians, this became like a really dirty, you know, kind of political hot potato for them that they didn't want to touch. And this was their incompetence that they couldn't keep it under wraps. And it got out. And now they have to deal with it. And now they're trying to, you know, they're trying to squish it as much as they can. But this story is just it's too drastic. It's too much. What's really, you know, what's really amazing is it's not just the leftists and their brazenness, you know, showing how degenerate they are, but it's also the silence of the quote-unquote moderates and conservatives like Samaras and all these people. I mean, these people aren't talking about it either, you know. So that really tells you something. You know, it really really sheds some light on the kind of people we're dealing with.
When push comes to shove, the conservatives and the Democrats and the so-called right-wingers are the same thing as the Marxists, and they will ally together. I mean, we've seen this with the crackdown on Golden Dawn.
Right.
Syriza, KKE, New Democracy, PASOK, all so-called historical enemies. I mean, they're all fighting one another. PASOK fights New Democracy, who in turn fights Syriza, who in turn is fighting the Communist Party, who et cetera, et cetera. And all of them put aside their differences to table laws against Golden Dawn, to vote to take away the immunity of legally elected parliament members, to arrest them, to have them dragged away. I mean, how many unsolved murders and rapes have happened in Greece that the police don't investigate, and yet they managed to get the police some balaclava-wearing thugs, essentially, that's what they looked like, to come to the House of Parliament members and drag them away in the middle of the night? Where did all this competence come from that they don't use to solve real crime?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, when they wanted when they want to bring the hammer down, they manage to do it. But when it comes to all these other crimes, it's they just can't do it. They're overstaffed, understaffed. I mean, they can't fight it.
As soon as the American Jewish Committee has a demand, suddenly they become the most competent police in the world. It's a disgrace. I mean, the downtown Athens, from what people say and from what I've seen, is a jungle. It's a jungle, and the police just stare blankly as all this stuff is happening. So
yeah, I mean, it really is. Like, even, you know, I know that American cities have had this reputation for being dangerous for many, many decades and things like that, but I can tell you, as someone who's lived over here and lived over there as well, that what's happened in Athens is really dramatic. The situation there in the center of Athens is worse than what you'll see in many American cities right now, believe it or not. And this is in a country that people didn't even lock their doors like 2 decades ago, and now it's like that, which is a much big, you know, it's a much more rapid type of change than what you'd see in America. I mean, America, if you go back 20 years, there was, you know, just as much crime, if not more, in many places. And in Greece, you're talking about a country that literally changed almost overnight. I mean, the speed at which they've turned the country into a cesspool is shocking. And that's why you have such a real backlash from the nationalists and the people of Greece, because it's not the kind of thing you can gradually introduce with these things, you know. These kind of rapes and things are unheard of to Greek people. People aren't desensitized like many Americans are to these kind of crimes. You know, in America, people are more this kind of stuff, but
yeah.
And that's why, like, to get right into that, recently 10,000 Greeks took to the streets outside the Golden Dawn offices last week, and they went out and protested the incarceration of our leader and everything, and the media said there was 1,000 people there. Now, any of you who go on the website, either Exeamediki or the site in Greece, you can see the pictures yourself, and you can tell us if that looks like 1,000 people to you.
There was actually some anchor on the Mega channel in Greece that was actually saying that there was only a few hundred people protesting, and then while he was saying that, the producers of his news show were showing footage and images of the protests that clearly showed thousands. So this was right next to his head as he was saying this.
Yeah, he didn't know. He didn't know. He was just reading what was on the teleprompter, so he didn't really understand.
So it's the age old game of trying to minimize your political opponents. But the problem is that the lies are too big, you know, and they're too obvious. They really need to go back to journalism school and brush up on how to do this propaganda, because I think a lot of these guys got appointed to their positions by connections and not by their credentials, you know.
Which journalist was this? Do you remember which news station it was?
I can't recall at the moment. Let me look this up. It was on the Mega channel, and Ant One also showed they did another thing. They were a little more intelligent. They instead, Ant One showed pictures from the very beginning when they were planning the protests and directing people, where there was only, yes, indeed, there's only a few hundred people there. But this wasn't the actual protest. This was before the time where people were supposed to come out.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing I was just going to say. Yeah. Ant One is known in Greece as Antenna. Antenna is known to be a little more subdued in its propaganda. I don't want to say subdued, but I want to say a little less extreme than the other ones. Sometimes Mega is usually known as like the worst offender. You know, really like the most blatantly ridiculous, you know, in its approach. The thing is that with Antenna, what they did was they go early on or they go towards the very, very end of it, and they usually bring a cameraman to go close in. Like, so that way they don't show the crowd. They just show a little segment of, like, you know, a crowd of people, but you don't really, you can't really tell how many people it is because they're not doing a, they're not doing it from the, you know, from the distance or a panoramic shot.
Right.
And, you know, on the flip side, when it's like a leftist, anti-fascist, anti-racist, protest or whatever it is, then they say thousands of it, you know, and then usually it's the opposite. Usually it's like a few hundred people and they turn it into thousands, 10,000 people, you know.
Of course. Classic,
you know, yeah. So.
Of course. And the thing is too, it's funny that for this, this massive rally of 10,000 people that came out for Golden Dawn, they sent very few journalists or photojournalists to it, and they were very stingy with their reporting. Meanwhile, anytime Tsipras gives a speech, even if it's very poorly attended, there's usually more journalists than people that support him at these speeches. I mean, we've seen it in various instances, and we've posted about it on our site, how there have been many rallies that Tsipras announces well ahead, and then he shows up to them, there's maybe 100, 200 people, and there's 50 or 60 journalists covering it all around.
Right. So absolutely.
And of course, they only publish pictures that make it look like there's more people than there are. And with the nationalists, they publish pictures that make it look like there's less people than there are. And I think the biggest media blackout was actually in the English-speaking press. The only real... The real initiator of the English-speaking press was, I believe, and I'm not making this up, it was something called Yeshiva News, where they first reported on it, and they totally underestimated. They said there was only 1,000 people at the protest instead of 10,000.
I think I saw it on the Guardian, I believe.
Yeah. After Yeshiva News and Israel National News started writing about it, then suddenly The Guardian picked it up and, you know, all these other things. But they made sure to pretend that the anti-racist Kifa and Antarcia protests and Agios Panalimina were even close to the same numbers, though. They were saying fascists and leftists standoff, or fascist and anti-racist standoff, but...
What they don't want to talk about in Agios Panalimonas, you know, I've been there, and in Agios Panalimonas, they basically, this is some listeners that might not be aware, this is an area in the center of Athens that was one of the first to really get hit really bad by the invasion of illegal immigrants, and a lot of these Greeks that live there, they're not wealthy enough to move out. So they're basically stuck there. And years ago, it was at the point where nobody could even go in the little park in the center of the area. You know, they had like a little town square type thing, and it was so dangerous nobody could go in. Long story short, Golden Dawn went in there along with who actually lived in the area, and I've seen it. And I know for a fact it wasn't just Golden Dawn people, because I've seen middle-aged women, you know, like that live in the area, going out and literally fighting with the Pakistanis and the Afghanis and stuff like that. It was really shocking, like, to see people that aren't really, you know, dyed-in-the-wool nationalists or very ideological, that just completely are trying to defend their neighborhood, and they're so angry and so, you know, they feel betrayed. They feel, you know, completely left to their own devices by the government and the state. And then they see all these rich kids, you know, these kids of these rich politicians and business owners that are anarchists, and they come in and they try to throw rocks at them, and they're fascists for defending their own neighborhood.
That happened the other day, actually, while the Golden Dawn protest was happening. The anarcho-communists went into Agios Panalimenon, and they started attacking regular working class citizens in the area that were simply trying to talk to them and saying, you know, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? Do you understand what we had to go through here? What this neighborhood looked like before Golden Dawn started helping us? And this is the dirty secret. This is the dirty secret of leftist relationships with the working class. The working class historically hates the Marxist left. They hate them because the leftists have historically betrayed the working class, well, at least the indigenous working class of Europe, you know.
So the thing is, you know, now it's even more blatant because now it's not like theoretical, like with workers and financial, sandbagging people and sneaking around with the Marxists and things like that. Now it's basically a bunch of Marxists going with Pakistani invaders and attacking the locals. I mean, it doesn't get any more blatant than that. I mean, how do you prove that you're with the working class when you're, you know, like throwing rocks at the very people you're supposed to represent or you say you represent? This is, it's night and day. It's not really, not even a debate, you know.
Of course, they don't, because those anarchists and communists, they come from privileged households where they never had to live in a situation like the people of Agios Panalimenos.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that the popular masses that live there are big supporters of Golden Dawn, because when Elias Panayotaros was released on bail, he went back there to a hero's welcome.
Yeah, I remember when I was there in 2009, and even then they were getting already like 20% of the people in the area. Now it's probably over 50 in that area. See, that was the first place in Athens to really get a huge Golden Dawn following. And yeah, there's many Golden Dawn people that live in the area, but not, you know, it's not 20% of the population of Agios Panalimenos that's Golden Dawn. I mean, you know, actual like Golden Dawn people from before. These are people who were average everyday people that used to vote for the major parties, that really got a taste of exactly what reality is now in Greece, and they were the first to get that taste. Meanwhile, these kids that are coming from places like, you know, in the northern suburbs is like the really rich areas of kind of like the Park Avenue of Athens. These kids, you know, they have big houses, they have villas, they have servants, they have swimming pools, they have everything. And they actually, see, these aren't the kids that are suffering. These aren't like the 20-year-old kids that are, you know, making 500 euros and worrying about how they're going to pay for things and help their parents pay for the rent and the electricity. They're not living like that. So they have all this free time on their hands, because you got to think about it. If you're so, if you're such a suffering person as a worker in modern Greece right now, where the minimum wage is like 500, 400 euros, there's no way you would have time to worry about illegal immigrants and their so-called rights in a neighborhood that you don't even live in. You'd be so busy trying to survive. Even if you don't like Golden Dawn, okay, let's say, you know, I can accept that maybe some people aren't crazy about Golden Dawn, but if you're one of those people, you wouldn't have time to go out of your way to go attack the residents of some other neighborhood that's like literally like 15, 20 miles from where you live in the middle of the day, you know. You'd be worrying about how you're going to help your parents, how you're going to help your sister, how you're going to help, you know, your family with their business, how are you going to pay the electric bill that they've doubled in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months with the memorandum. So this proves more than anything who these people are, you know. It's obvious.
Well, that,
you know?
that's the basic reason for the Frankfurt School Marxist theory of no platform. This concept was created by the Jew Herbert Marcuse, and it pretty much states that anyone that doesn't believe in Marxism should not have any access to free expression or freedom of assembly or anything. Because The reality of the matter, George, is that the Marxists and the conservatives and all these other people, they have no intelligent opposition to what Golden Dawn is saying. They have no way to confront the issues that Golden Dawn brings up. Their biggest hope is to just lock them up and make their issues go away. The problem is, though, is that these very issues are the most important issues to common Greek people, particularly in the working classes and the unemployed. These are the people that are suffering the most.
And what's even more ironic is that the thing that's getting all the support is the very thing that they're facilitating and supporting. I mean, they're supporting the invasion of these illegal immigrants, which is in turn creating a backlash. They're not, so it's basically like they're self-sabotaging themselves, but they're so, you know, they're so demented in their head that they'll keep doing it, you know.
It's not so much that they're demented, George. It's that they don't think that we can break into the mainstream and speak for ourselves. That's why they focus on shutting us up rather than debating us. They don't want us in the parliament. They don't want social nationalists to be interviewed on television. I mean, Cassidiadis was on television, set for an interview, and they just took the show off the air recently.
Right. Yeah.
So this is the basic foundation of these systematic forces of the establishment of the so-called democracy.
Well, yeah, but my point is that at some point, at some time, they're going to have to address this problem, and they don't have any way to address it. And I mean, when I say that, I mean the problem of the economy and the problem of the illegal immigrants. The thing of the economy with Tsipras, for example, he's claiming that, Tsipras of the party Syriza, he's claiming that he's going to give these people their money back, their pensions, their government jobs, all these things that they were enjoying on borrowed money from the European Union, which now they've used as a collateral to decimate the country. They're promising they're going to give that back, but there's no that money. No one ever explains where that money is going to come from. They also explain that they're going to support a kind of brotherhood among men in Greece, and that all of these immigrants, you know, with the right party and with a lack of racism, with a lack of racist parties like Golden Dawn. See, they think that if you get rid of Golden Dawn, that racism will just suddenly disappear or racial tension will suddenly disappear, when that's not the case at all. In fact, the racial tension between these immigrants is even inflaming. So how do you explain that? I mean, I've seen Pakistanis in Greece. This was even before the crisis. I've seen Pakistanis being beat up by Albanians in Greece because of, you know, they were waiting in line for the same type of construction jobs, and they were literally going out with pickaxes and tongs trying to beat them to death. So how do you explain that? Did Golden Dawn put them up to it? I mean, seriously, is this, you know, but that's what they think. And that's, I mean, the ones at the bottom, you know, the rank and file leftists, I'm sure they do believe that. They do believe that if you just get rid of this institutional, quote-unquote, racism, that the problem will go away. Because, you know, these people don't live in it. They never lived in a multiracial society like, you know, in the United States or Brazil or any of these other places. To them, it's a theory that might actually work because they never lived it. It makes sense to them somehow. But the fact of the matter is that now, with all of this stuff happening and the problem, the crime getting worse and worse and worse, they have to have some kind of answer if they're going to bring the working class with them, and they don't have it. So even if Golden Dawn was completely out of the picture, they still don't have a way to connect with these working class people. They don't have it, you know. So,
well, everything that the Judeo left or Judeo Marxists present to the people as a platform is all based on ideology, not reality. The Golden Dawn is the only party in Greece that is functioning based off the reality of the situation. The Marxists and the Democrats are just ideologues. The Democrats get their ideology from the European Union, which is pretty much stocked with people like Daniel Cohn-Bendit, who's of course the leader of the Greens in the European Parliament, and he's a self-confessed pedophile, and these are the type of people that are forming the ideology of the European Union, pedophiles and May 68ers and all of these degenerates. That I mean, the Green Party recently in Germany was actually in trouble because in the 80s they were actually they were agitating to legalize pedophilia and bestiality. And these same people are now the leaders of the European Parliament, giving orders to the Democrats like Samaras and Venizelos.
Yeah, that's right.
These are the people that form the ideology of the EU.
Right.
These sick, monstrous, dark age Democrats are the ones that decide who gets to play and who doesn't. That's why it should be rejected unanimously.
There's one key difference in Greece with these EU bureaucrats. Remember how we've talked in the past about how they're trying to apply Western solutions, with, you know, in regards to Golden Dawn, to a problem in the Balkans, of a country that has a very different history and a very different economic and social and political situation. You see, these parties that are promoting this deranged type of, you know, bestiality, pedophilia, all this stuff, in those countries in Western Europe, they can actually get away with it a lot more with much less resistance. Now, why is that? Well, one is because the culture of those countries is much more, conformist. They don't like to rock the boat too much. They like, they're very respectful of the law and things like that. But the other reason is that those people, yeah, authoritarian, right. But the other thing is, like, these Germans and Dutch and Belgians and whatnot, they live in a state that's still somewhat functioning. I mean, they still can go and get their, if they lose their job, they have a pension or an unemployment, or they can basically be taking care of. The state is still functioning, and it still serves the purpose. So that sense of security in those countries is still very strong. And so because of that, even if someone, let's say you're a German and you're very against this kind of thing, their attitude is, well, you know, I have my house, my family, my job. I don't want to be the one to come out and confront these people, because I'll lose all my comfort. I'll lose my, you know, everything I have that I've been so, you know, used to having, and I'm going to put that at risk, and I don't want to do that. Whereas if you compare that in contrast to Greece, these people have already lost everything. You know, they don't have the government anymore to give them a pension in many cases, or they actually are unemployed for over a year, over 2 years now. Their bills are piling up. They're losing their houses. They're losing the bank is coming and taking away their property. They're taxing them. It's a complete assault. So when these people see this on top of all that, this pedophilia, and they see the real face of all this, they react much more, you know, hostily, because they're already being treated hostile. They're not being taken care of like these other people. So that's, like we said, it's a Western type of solution to a problem that is not a Western problem in nature yet. I mean, they deal with those problems of crime and everything just like Greece does, but it's at a much more muted level. I mean, because to be honest, I mean, I've been over there. Their problem with immigrants is there. They have, you know, a lot of, as many of you know, they have Turks and Moroccans and all this kind of problems, and they do have high crime areas, but almost all of these people are legal. They have very few people that are, like, unidentified, like in Greece. Like in Greece, the cops are pulling over people. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know what country they're from. They can't even verify who the hell they are, how old they are, what country they're from, where they came from. Half of them have fake papers. The other half don't have papers at all. So this is a big difference, you know, and the Germans, they keep it that way. You know, they when they find somebody undocumented, they ship them back to Greece. So they can keep their system running at a more controlled pace. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to face the same thing Greece is at some point, but they're facing it in a much more controlled and metered type of, it's like a drip, you know, like in Germany and those countries, it's like a drip, like one drop in the bucket is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's going to take a long time. Whereas in Greece, it's just a flood. It's like, it's not a drip anymore. It's a complete flood.
Well, for a lot of people in the wealthier parts of Europe, like Scandinavia, Germany, the Netherlands, the crime there is actually just as intense and violent as it is in Greece. The problem is, though, is that in those countries, a lot of people, like you said, they have too much to lose. They don't want to rock the boat. So what happens is that people tolerate it. You see, what the Marxists and the Democrats don't realize is that nobody likes them. We don't like you. The only reason we tolerate you is because we have a house and we have food, and if we get out of line, you're going to take that away. That's the only reason you're in power. But once that is no longer in the equation, the Democrats fear for their lives. They get desperate, like in Greece. They start locking up opposition because they don't have the hearts and minds of the people, and they never did from the first place. They just bribed the people until they could no more, and now they're reaping the consequences of being corrupt scumbags and nation wreckers, nation retarders. But like I said, George, no one likes this ideology of globalization. Nobody likes being replaced culturally, racially, economically. No one likes that. They just tolerate it to a certain point, which is why I think, George, we should talk about the way the Zionists, particularly people like Netanyahu, the butcher of Gaza, going to Greece and praising the Greek government and parliament for passing or attempting to pass anti-racist laws and for locking up Golden Dawn. Why don't we talk about that for a little bit, George? Now,
we'll get into that when we come back. We'll take a break, and we're going to get into that when we talk about the thing with Israel and its new anti-immigration law. Welcome back again to Golden Dawn Radio. What we wanted to get into now, like we said before, is the recent anti-immigrant law that is being enacted in Israel. Now, keep in mind, this is the same Israel that comes out and says that Greece should be taking immigrants in like a piñata exploding on Cinco de Mayo and not do anything about it. And And yet they have some kind of new, heavily restricted, as the leftists would call, fascist anti-immigrant law. Isn't that right, Ed?
Well, hold on a second, George. Calling Israel fascist is racist and anti-Semitic. They can't be fascist, yeah, they're Jews.
I wouldn't call it that. I mean, I would call it common sense to have an anti-immigrant law, but the leftists, you know, the people who call us fascists, you know, they, by the same token, at least theoretically, they should be calling Israel fascist, too, if they have any kind of, I mean, because remember, you know, no person is illegal, right? No human should be illegal. It should apply to Israel, too, should it
and
not?
Borders are a social construct.
That's right, yeah. So when you let 20 million Palestinians and Arabs rush across the Israeli border, that was just a social construct they were crossing. Isn't that right?
But see, the thing is, George, is that calling Israel a nationalist state is a big mistake that a lot of people make. Israel is not a nationalist state because real nationalists, such as Golden Dawn, believe in universal nationalism. In other words, we believe every nation, every ethnic peoples of planet Earth deserve a right to their own living space, to control their own policies, to control their own economy, and to be free from globalization, if they so choose. Israel doesn't believe that. Israel, on the other hand, believes that all states should be globalized except for this. So the real racism, George, is not from Golden Dawn. The real racism is from these Zionist Jews in New York that are meeting with Samaras and Venizelos and all of the European Union's major leaders and instructing them on what to do, creating a supposed humanitarian or civil rights and all these flowery words for the West. And yet Israel is a place that practices racial segregation. For example, in Israel, African children are actually segregated from Jewish children in the schools, in the kindergartens. In Israel, tens of thousands of African immigrants that arrived in Israel from a variety of places, such as Sudan, you have people from the Congo, all these places, Israel is rounding them up, and they made an agreement with the Ugandan government to simply deport all these people from a variety of different African nations to Uganda. So in Greece and in Europe, they say they can't deport illegal immigrants because they don't know where they're from. Yet Israel doesn't know where they're from, and they just deport them to one place. Oh, yes, the people of Uganda are black, so we're going to deport them to Uganda. You know, so that's pretty much what these Zionist hypocrites are doing. And this very same murderer, killer of children, Netanyahu, the murderer of Palestinian children, goes to to Greece to praise the parliament members for their fight against racism, when Golden Dawn has done nothing on the scale of the Zionist government in the Middle East. Nothing. I mean, this is a big problem, George, because many of the ideologues of the left, you can name a bunch of them, whether it's the Daniel Cohn-Bendit that we mentioned earlier of the Green Party. He's a Zionist. He supports Israel. He supports the so-called apartheid state. He supports even the wars he fought. He supported the Iraq War. So all of these the alliance of the quote unquote radical left with world Jewry and its racist double standards is too stark to hide anymore. These people are now, they went from self-proclaimed enemies of the establishment to the very tool of the establishment. So I think it's safe to say that all of these Jews, such as the World Jewish Committee, American Jewish Committee, you know, the Anti-Defamation League, that are always coming out about gay rights and, anti-racism, that they love Martin Luther King and they want the dream and all that, they don't apply that to their own country. In fact, they apply the polar opposite. In short, they want extreme racial chauvinism for their own people and so-called plural ethnic pluralism and multiculturalism for all other people. If you don't think there's something sinister about that double standard, it's like the famous Jewish dissident Israel Shahak said. He said that any anti-racist group that supports Israel has a sinister agenda. And this is a reality that all real nationalists need to absorb and have in the back of their minds anytime these Jews come out from behind the curtain to crush a democratically elected party like Golden Dawn.
Yeah, that's right. We don't really have any... I mean, you really can't get any more clear than that. You can't get any more blatant than that, what we're seeing right now. You really can't. I mean, what do people need to see? They need to see Netanyahu come around in a Darth Vader mask, forcing people to mix with each other, or forcing people. I mean, it's ridiculous, this thing.
Yeah.
And yet people are still denying it. I mean, it's amazing to me after all this time that there's these leftists that, I mean, if these people, okay, put the Jews aside, all these, you know, non-Jewish leftists, I don't understand. If they're so anti-racist, why aren't they blowing the whistle on this stuff? You know, you never hear about that. If you're really an anti-racist and you really don't like nationalism, let's say you're one of those people and you really just want the world to be, you know, and you have all the good intentions, then shouldn't you be talking about this, theoretically? About this segregation going on in the year 2013, that there's such a thing going on?
Yeah, a country that has laws against racial mixing, like Israel does.
Right.
A country that segregates blacks from Jews. A country that deports all people with dark skin to a random African country. This is what's happening in Israel. But the thing is, George, is that these so-called radical communists and radical anarchists that are going out and throwing Molotov cocktails at Golden Dawn offices and beating up elderly working class people that may or may not support Golden Dawn just for their political beliefs. These people don't seem to be that radical when it comes to the bankers, for example. How many bankers have these leftists beat up? How many corrupt politicians have they attacked with the brutality that they attack Golden Dawn members? How many Zionists do they do the two?
If they're so anti-system in general, then why haven't they attacked or assaulted any parliamentary politicians or any kind of, you know, like the state, like Samaras? So why, you know, these anarchists, that's a good question. I mean, they're always showing off their weapons and things like that, but they never seem to use them for anything unless it's attacking something with Golden Dawn. But they also claim that Samaras is fascist and Samaras is this and that and the other thing, and yet they never do anything about that. Never.
I've actually seen a few more of the free-thinking leftists bring that up, actually, that these leftists are able to mobilize so easily when it comes to attacking, you know, a Golden Dawn member or something, but they can't really – they were complaining, these leftists I know, that they can't really mobilize that much against – capitalism or against the big bankers or against the EU. They have a lot of trouble getting people to mobilize for that. And I always ask, you know, why is that? If you're anything more than a mindless reactionary working on behalf of the establishment, how come you can't use your violence and you don't use that hatred and anger against people that actually rule you if you're that anti-establishment? And it never happens. And all of the leftists that are against Israel, they only make token criticisms of Israel. They never go to the heart of it. In fact, many of these groups that are supposedly about Palestinian rights all throughout Europe and America are led by Jews. And if you go with a perspective that perhaps there is a sort of that you know, you make more intense or poignant criticisms of Israel, these same Jews leading the opposition will shut you down and silence you. So
Yeah, they'll call you an extremist or something like that.
Yeah, they'll say, well, that's not anti-Zionism, that's anti-Semitism, when you point out the fact that a lot of these corporations and lobbyists and politicians that are such fervent Zionists are, yes, they're Jewish, obviously. When you point out the obvious, they don't like it. So, you know, if you're a real nationalist, you're a real anti-racist, because you hold everyone to the same standard. You believe everyone has the same rights. Ironically, the nationalists are
ironically, what it is that the only way to really end racial tension is to have mono-ethnic states, because if you don't, there's always going to be some kind of inequality or someone who feels that they're not being represented enough, or they're not being taken care of enough in comparison to another group that's living under the same state. So racial tension becomes an issue in all of those countries, even in countries that have high mixed race populations. Like, a lot of people think, oh, well, if the race is all mixed, then that's going to go away. But if you look at countries like Brazil and things like that, they even have a sliding scale of racism, where the people who are lighter are racist against the darker people, or the people who are more this or that. Or in India, for example, the people in different castes, you know, they still have an institutionalized form of racism and discrimination. So even in countries where there's like a mixture and there is no large, like, let's say, divide between the mixture of races, you know, between the differences, it still exists.
A lot of these Zionist anti-racist groups like to point to Brazil as some kind of racial utopia where everyone gets along. But I've been to Brazil, and I can tell you that the southern part of Brazil, which is the nicest, most livable, and by far the most productive part of Brazil, has a majority white population. So, and that majority white population actually resents internal immigration from the north, and they also want to break away, many of them, to form their own country. So these racial tensions are not something unique to Europe or America or anything like that, by far. So, I mean, the reality of nature and biology is that the only people that deny it are people with ideologies like leftists and mainstream cultural Marxist Democrats, or Jews with a sinister agenda. I mean, just realize how evil you have to be, knowing that the people that are flooding into Greece are going to rape and kill the people that live in Greece, and then supporting that anyway. That's right. Just evil. That's evil. Especially when you yourself realize that you don't even want those people in your own country, but you support it for other countries. So you know what? I say we support we support immigration to Israel. We should deport all of the ones that they are always agitating for to the Greek parliament. Let's deport them to Israel. And then we can all live happily ever after. They can have what they want for us, and that's it. But it's never going to happen.
Doesn't play out that way in reality. No. Now, speaking of leftists and things like this, and history and what's going on right now, 2 days ago is the 28th of October, and that was a national holiday in Greece. For people that don't know, it's called Ohimera, or No, the Day of No. Ohi in Greek means no, and it commemorates the point in World War II where the leader of Greece at that time, Ioannis Metaxas, said no to the Italian invasion of Greece. At this point, Greece was trying to be a neutral country during the war, and the British and the Axis were both kind of pushing to get involved with Greece, and Greece was adamantly trying to avoid that and get out of it.
So pretty much it was the ancestors of today's KKE that were the ones that put down their arms when the Italians invaded Greece. Yet today, all we hear about is the communist guerrillas who fought against the Germans And of course, these same communist guerrillas also killed many Greeks, but they don't like to talk about that. But what's weird is that the main person that said "Ohi," Metaxas, has been almost erased from the history books and is not really commemorated in modern day celebrations of this holiday.
Yeah, they've completely blacked it out now because it's inconvenient for them. It creates confusion, you know, for the kiddies, you know, when they teach them in school, you know, they don't really know what to do about it. So,
well, I think a good analogy, George, is when a small child asks their parents about, you know, about sex, you know, the parents will be very uncomfortable with that and have to come up with something about the storks or the birds and the bees. Well, that's how uncomfortable the Democrats get when they hear about Metaxas. They have the children saying, why are they saluting like the Nazis? Why are they calling their nation the third Hellenic civilization? Why are they doing all of this? They look like fascists. And the Democrats just want to avoid that conversation altogether.
Yeah, well, they don't even show it. I mean, I can tell you in Greece, they don't even... I know numerous Greeks that have no idea of that. They don't even know that. They don't even show pictures of it from that period. And even now, I watched recently this Greek-American documentary about the day. And, you know, it was the usual talk of democracy in Greece and holding back the invasion and all this stuff. And then what they did was they said one thing about Metaxas, and then all the other footage was footage of actual, like, communist partisans and things like that. It didn't show any footage of Metaxas' army or his regime or anything. Nothing.
Well, of course, they love to smear Golden Dawn saying, oh, the Nazi salute. Well, Metaxas called the right arm salute the Hellenikos Aedetismos, which is a Hellenic salute.
Aedetismos, yeah. It's the hail, yeah. The Hellenic.
Of course, Metaxas said it was a Greek salute as taken from statues from the god Apollo. And, of course, they used to refer to Metaxas as Argos, the Greek word for the chief, for leader.
Yeah, Argos, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not Führer, not Duce, but Argos, which is, of course, if today Golden Dawn does that, they say, oh, see, they're getting it from the Führer principle, as the ridiculous court documents against Mihailiakos refer to. But... the reality is that Metaxas did all of this. They just don't talk about it. They just wipe it away from the history books. They wipe away the footage. They wipe away the pictures, the documents, everything. Just never existed. So, by and large, Ohi Day must be taken back and remembered as what it was, which was an act of nationalism by what is considered a social nationalist, Metaxas, who established a pretty much the contemporary golden age of Greece with great advancements in workers' rights and living standards for the people, and reestablishing a type of pride in Hellenic civilization and Hellenism that sought to not only bring Greece into the world stage, but also make it a nation where the citizens could be proud of what they created. Citizens were involved, not unlike the democratic system of today.
Yeah, where citizens don't even want to get involved anymore. They just want to take what they can get, if they can get anything.
Of course.
So,
now
mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if we should perhaps talk about the international solidarity that people have been showing to Golden Dawn in the wake of these of this undemocratic crackdown on nationalists, from Argentina to Latvia to Hungary to England and Scandinavia.
Yeah, we've been getting, since, you know, the last broadcast, we've been getting so many emails of solidarity and people sending us copies of what they gave their local Greek embassies in their respective countries, talking about the unlawful imprisonment of Mihaliakos and all of these kind of things. And we were actually amazed at how many countries that were doing this. I mean, you're not just talking about the usual ones like Italy and Germany and these places. I mean, you're talking about countries that are, you know, in the Baltic states and Hungary, everywhere. I mean, it was amazing. It was really amazing. And we wanted to thank all the people who have been showing their solidarity with us over this. And really what we can notice is that people see this attack on Golden Dawn as not just an attack on the Greeks and the Greek people and Golden Dawn itself. They see it as an attack on all the nationalists, because they're saying this could easily happen to any of us, and it will. And they know that.
And it is happening. So,
and it is happening, right. Yeah.
Right now, the international Zionist cabal has Golden Dawn in its crosshairs. But don't think that the nationalists in places like Hungary are far behind. The nationalists in anywhere, actually. All social nationalists around the world are facing the same challenges as Golden Dawn. And they realize that the only way that we can all have self-determination is if we have solidarity. Just like the doers of evil have international solidarity and help each other, those who fight for good must also support one another in times like this.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that it's very important to show that. And it's also important to show how the nationalists around the world see a kind of camaraderie or kinship with other nationalists, because that totally blows up the European Union's theory that ethnic nationalism will create another world war. The reality is that those Democrats, not only if it ever happens, will be the reason for this world war, but they've been the reason for all the other world wars too, these Democrats.
So
don't buy into any of their myths and lies, because the reality is the most intelligent and humanitarian solution is for all peoples to have sovereignty and decide the future track of their nation.
Yeah, these people want to be self-reliant. They want to be self-sufficient. They want to be in charge of their own destiny. Everybody wants that, and we believe everybody has the right to do that. It's not really a matter of debate for us. We never asked for your European Union. We never asked for this project that you keep talking about. Who are you to tell us?
Well,
what project we should accept?
It's ironic, because when you read any of the mainstream junk media, you'll hear things like every time you'll hear the buzzwords: anti-democratic, fascist, neo-Nazi, white supremacist, all of that. But the reality is that those words are used just to smear the people that are bringing up issues that are quite relevant. It's like I said before, George, these people have no intelligent opposition to what we believe. They just want us to go away. That's why these anti-racists, anti-fascists, all these anarchists and communist groups, when they go out to protest, they don't say anything. They have nothing to protest about. The only thing they do is try to shut up the political dissidents. They go for no platform, as they say, where they take away your right to free expression and your right to freedom of assembly with violence, state-sanctioned, Zionist-sanctioned violence that the police do nothing about. So, by and large, the nationalists will be victorious. It's inevitable. The system we have now is anti-nature and anti-human. Everything will go back to the default. And this time, it will be a default that actually will make life livable in all these countries being destroyed by globalization, and preserve our native cultures and races. I mean,
yeah, but unfortunately, the path to this final type of conclusion is going to be very long and very difficult. It's going to be very painful. What we're seeing now is the beginning of a very bitter struggle for the noose, you know, the chains that they're trying to link around us all and choke us. They're trying to strangle us with this European Union and this European project. And it's going to be very, very difficult to break away from this. We all have to realize that. We all have to realize that who we're dealing with are very sick people. We're dealing with psychopaths, dealing with people who are completely ruthless and have no scruples about doing whatever it takes to keep us enslaved. So with that, I want to tell people that we all must be together in this, and we all must really help each other out when we can.
And I think it's important. It's important also to be reminded daily that we're the good guys here. We're the ones. All we're fighting for is to exist. Do you realize that? We're just fighting to exist. There's nothing evil about that. There's nothing wrong with that. The ones who do wrong are those bankers and plutocrats that are bringing about this misery upon the entire world. If all nations were nationalists, they would not make all that money, and they would feel threatened because the plutocrats and the bankers don't have a nation. So that's really what this boils down to. Solidarity, respect, creativity, man, that all leads to revolution. Something that everyone has to keep very clear in their minds. We're the good guys. We're the good guys. We're the ones that are helping the people. We feed the people. And they sick their police and their antifas against us for doing that. But it doesn't matter. We have the truth on our side. We're the good guys, and we're going to triumph, and we're going to march over them. So you either come with us or get out of the way.
The truth is represented by the laws of nature, and as we know, with the laws of nature, you can suppress nature, but you can't stop it. Eventually, the natural will of the people and their will to survive is going to come to the forefront. And the will of nature, when you're actually going up against an organism or a people or a nation's will to survive, that is the most dangerous thing you can oppose, because you're not just opposing, you know, an ideology. You're not just opposing a set of values. You're opposing a people's will to exist. Is linked with nature. It's not something linked with just simply politics or opinion on how money should be divided among the workers or things like the communists talk about. This is something so fundamentally linked with nature that it's a very different thing than what all these other political marketplace of ideas have been saying all these years, you know.
And all these people new. and the way that are persecutors in opposition take this into consideration is by simply denying that it exists. They just pretend it doesn't exist. And that, my friend, that's a massive mistake. That's a massive mistake. Yeah. That's grave mistake that they're making, because that's not going to make it go away. Okay? They think they're going to be like Houdini, say abracadabra. Oh, it doesn't exist. Look, it doesn't exist. When it's obvious and every day. Oh, right. Of course. And that's how they try to deconstruct it. But you know what? No matter how much you do that, how much you put that in the media, how much you do that and say that in academia, how much it doesn't matter how much of the world you control, the tree is going to grow and it's going to break through all of your barricades and barriers. And we're going to take our nations back. That's it.
That's right. We're not going to stand around and let you subjugate us. and especially the Greek people. We've been around for a very, very long time.
Well, the Greeks were instrumental in defeating a massive empire called the Ottoman Empire. So what makes this tiny film of European Union Democrats and bankers and Zionists think that they'll be able to hold on to power for much longer there? If you can
Yeah,
take down a whole empire, a tiny film of special interests aren't going to stop you. Doesn't matter.
these EU bureaucrats, these pedophiles, they don't really know who they're dealing with. They don't really know the resolve of the Greek people and the tragic things that the Greek people have been through all these centuries, and the things that we've survived that are much worse than what these EU bureaucrats have thrown at us. Now, it might seem very difficult right now, which it is, and we can't make the mistake of underestimating them, but that doesn't mean that we should get discouraged or should take what they throw at us like it's something to be afraid of. Because you know what? They're cowards, they're degenerates, they're the scum of the earth, and they should be the ones hiding, not us. And
Well,
that's the
that's
way
why
that.
they're getting desperate, George. That's why they have to put Mikhail Yakov in prison. That's an
Absolutely.
act of desperation. When the soft totalitarianism no longer works, then the Stalinist tactics come out. That's the reality of
Yeah.
democracy.
I think, yeah, we should end on that note that Lenin, this is history proves that time and time again, when empire or any kind of rule is about to fall, historically what we see is that the states usually resort to these types of things, these political persecutions, the very rush type of things that where the state panics and tries to jail people. And usually that's the sign, that's the beginning of the end for them. That's always the case historically.
I think it's funny too, George, how
First time.
the leftists are celebrating in all their little indie media, all their little websites, the anarchists and the communists are saying, yes, Golden Dawn is gone. Woo! They're trying to, okay, or
Yeah.
organic juice on me, guys. Golden Dawn is
Yeah.
gone. Let's celebrate.
That's right.
Well,
Yep.
this isn't the first time they've done that. The leftists in Greece were actually celebrating in 2006 when Golden Dawn had to close down one of its offices because of continued terrorist attacks from anarchists. They had to do a tactical retreat at that office. And what happened? They just came back even stronger,
Well, what
crushed.
happened was I was there when that happened. It wasn't even really a tactical retreat. It was that they were trying to prosecute Golden Dawn as a group then, because a couple of anarchists were injured when they tried to attack our office. And basically, what they said was, "Okay, we're not going to be Golden Dawn anymore. We're going to have a different name." And the name was Patriotik Isimarchia, which is a Patriotic Alliance. And that was the party that was formed for that period of time. And this way, they couldn't prosecute Golden Dawn for this thing. Because what they were trying to do during that period of time, not unlike today, but actually back then, what they were doing was they were sending these anarchists and stuff to try and attack our offices to get a response. And this one particular time, some of these little boys, they got hurt because, and they had rich parents and they were connected with the government, and they were trying to build a case against them for that, and it failed. And so after that, about a year later, Golden Dawn came back again. And back then they were saying all that kind of thing, "Oh, Golden Dawn is finished," and blah blah blah. But then again, some of them were saying like, "Oh, it's just a different organization now," but a lot of them were, claiming a victory like that. Yeah,
Just
sure.
like they're claiming it now, and they, of course, they see no irony or hypocrisy in the fact that it's the state that's doing most of this, and they're just working in their
Well,
shadow.
yeah, the reality is that the reason why they're celebrating this is because they really don't want to confront us as much as they say they do. They're afraid of us. So they're hoping that the state is going to do their job for them, and that the state is going to succeed in suppressing us so they won't have to deal with us. Because they know that if the state can't deal with us, which it can't, we all know it can't in the long run, that they're going to have to deal with us. They're going to have to face us. Or if not, we're going to face them. And that's why they're all living on this this hope that Samaras, you know, is like the king of the anarchists now, and he's managed to crush Golden Dawn where they couldn't, you know. But we all know that that's not true. And deep down, many of them know it too. They just want to have their, you know, their time to be comfortable, you know. So,
well, they're always they're always celebrating victories very prematurely. And I noticed too that the so-called radical left, radical anti-fascist left, is always trying to frame events that are obvious, obviously not their victories, but they try to frame everything as some triumph to try and keep morale. Because see, the dirty secret of the left is that they have to lie to not be demoralized. Because if their followers and adepts knew the truth, they would not be affiliated with any of these people. The fact that the Greek government is actively supporting them, the fact that the working classes of Greece support the nationalists, the fact that pretty much the anti-fascists and the anarchists have the same philosophy as the big capitalists and the big bankers. In other words, to break down borders, destroy traditions, and implement a one-world government without any sovereignty. That they have the same goals, the same agenda. You're part of the system, not against it. So put away your processed, bought-at-the-shopping-mall rebellion and become a real rebel, if you want. I mean, it's up to you, if you have the guts. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think the thing is that we all know that most of these kids, like we said before, they're all from privileged families and they're used to this comfortable style of living. So the idea of being a real revolutionary or a real rebel against the system is frightening to them. It's much easier to be a state-approved rebel than an actual rebel. And with that, I think we could end it on that. And we want to say that we'd like to thank all of you for your support over the last month through this whole ordeal that we've been going through. And we look forward to keeping in contact with all of you. Keep in mind that we're still doing the food drive for Greece. We're getting it to our people over there, regardless of the state's repression. So please keep checking back on the site, and we will see you next time.
Indeed. And with that, I think we can bid everyone good night.
Good night.